Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're going to get fairly drunk.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. There's a lot of A's in it.
And we didn't say we started. I'd say.
I'm going to start a beer. Fuck
you. Damn it.
Oh, God.
Let's just all drink beers because this book sucks ass.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm just drinking mine.
Everyone's drinking beer.
Everyone. So, all right. Yeah. You know what? Good. Then I'll tell you about this one later. So, did we pick? We picked this. This isn't a punishment book, and people didn't
pick this.
We did this to ourselves.
What's your beer?
Right in the beginning, Feyre kills a fairy from.
It's a different word.
They don't live around. I know, right?
Not in this neighborhood.
Not the Bronx. Oh, okay. It's
go back to your jam and muffin shop.
Here. And then they get really mad at her. And it's like, wait, where did you come from? You must live very, very far away by Off Color. This is a Belgian style ale, mix fermented with white wine yeast.
Mm.
So anyway, it tastes like a Belgian. I wouldn't say it tastes like white wine, obviously, because it's white wine yeast. I don't know what mix from... so basically, it uses wine yeast and then some beer yeast, some ale yeast. I don't know what that did, how that changed the flavor exactly, but it's all right.
Well, I'm drinking a beer from Big Alice called Behold True Sorrow, because her family is poor as fuck, and you're like, this is full of sorrow. And it's a Schwartz beer, and it tastes like every other Schwartz beer. And it's fine. I don't know. I don't know what percent it is. It's black writing on a black label, so that shit's not happening.
So I'll tell you my beer later, so we can get into the plot, because the book is 432 pages and there's 509 pages of plot and 11
and two
pages
that matter.
Yeah. So it starts off with Feyre, who is a young woman who, if you thought it was Katniss, you would be forgiven because it is almost Katniss.
It's absolutely Katniss.
And she lives in vaguely medieval world.
Did you look at the map?
I absolutely did not.
The map is just Britain.
I believe that.
And like the magic Hibern thing they keep talking about.
Hibernia? Fucking, yeah.
And the fairyland is in like the center of the big island. And they just live around that. It's like, this is... I thought maybe it was going to be like, oh, it's like it takes place in regular... world, but no, it's just a fantasy world where the world is just fucking, though they do mention the continent a lot, so who the fuck knows, but it's that's at least of my concerns.
I found it very frustrating that the place was called Hibern and another place is called Pythian, which neither sound like the name of a place, they sound like adjectives.
Well, Hibern is the other island that's ruled by
fairies. I know what it is, but like that's an adjective, and oh. Pythian is an adjective, but she uses them as nouns. Like she does the fantasy thing of, I'm going to spell a word funny, and then you know, like you find at the end with the glossary, which has eight words in it. Like, oh, wow, this is really helpful.
The shortest one I've ever seen.
It's a really brief, and they're really terrible. Anyway, so Feyre is the youngest daughter of a disgraced silk merchant or some bullshit, and they've lost their wealth, and she has two useless cunt
literally,
sisters.
It crashed on all the boats. In the ocean.
Well, because he invested in the Dutch East India Company or something, and so now they're poor. And her two useless piece of shit sisters are just looking for male suitors, and her dad sits around polishing his wood, and she has to go out hunting pheasants and nonsense for them. And that's how it starts. And it was a really slow start. I was really bored for the beginning, where she has to go hunting, and she's like, I gotta kill a deer, but there might be a fairy. And you're like, wow, she's like... Is this the South where she's got to kill these fairies? They're moving in.
I mean, she's clearly living in District 12. So,
oh, absolutely. And then she sees a wolf. She's like, that's a big wolf. Probably a fairy. Shouldn't kill it. Fuck it. Going to kill it anyway. Because I can get a
is
nice
that a hate
nickel.
Crime if you kill a wolf because it's gay?
That's what she does.
Well, I mean, a bear, yes.
That's a different part of the woods.
Both interested in wood, nonetheless. Mm. So she kills both animals, and the wolf is dead, and she shoots it with a magic elf killing bow. It has to be made of...
They're fairies, definitely not elves.
They're fairies, and their weakness is ass. Oh, I'm sorry, ash.
Not an uncommon tree, but whatever.
So then she's like, yay, we could eat this deer, and her fucking horrible family just sits there, and they're like, ooh, I hope to buy a new bodkin or some bullshit with the money you get from that pelt.
I hope to get enough fancy clothes that the woodcutter's son will fuck me.
Then the next day she sells the pelts to a mercenary who's never in the book again and seemed like she was going to matter.
She matters for exposition.
You know, class.
She sells the pelts for exposition instead of money.
And so the mercenary is like, listen, this is probably an elf skin. And she's like, I don't care. Just give me 19 cents or whatever it is. Because I think it's like pre-decimal England. There's like a farthing and a guinea.
But
or
it's
something.
Not England. It's a magic place. It's definitely not England.
And then the next night, Beast from fucking Beauty and the Beast shows up at her house. He's like, you killed my buddy. Mm. And we have an extremely specifically binding contract.
Because in this world, the elves used to rule over the humans, and the humans were all slaves. But at some point, 500 years ago, the humans got free or something, or it's not really explained, or they don't know because it happened so long
ago.
There
was a war, and now the elves, and there's been a treaty was signed after the Treaty of Versailles, yes. Because everything is spelt just a little wrong.
Yeah, but it's pronounced like we would read it if we didn't know how to say Versailles. But now the elves... I'm sorry, fairies, definitely not elves. They all live in this walled-off area.
They live north of the wall.
Very far.
Yeah. Even though on the map it was like Lesotho, where it's like contained within a larger country.
It's an exclave.
Yeah, it's like, all right, it's like walled around them. And the humans live outside of it, and they're always scared the elves are going to come and take over. So the... At first,
Which
I wasn't sure if the elves were even real. I'm sorry, fairies, fuck. wasn't even sure if they were real at all, but it turns out, yes, they are real, and everyone accepts that. They just don't see fairies anymore. And now one has come to get her because she killed one of them.
This wolf shows up at their house and is like,
no, it's a lion man.
It's a cat wolf. Like
okay,
cat
whatever.
Dog,
it's
but
a
wolf
weird,
instead.
It's a weird animal thing. And it shows up, and it's like, who killed my friend? And everyone is like, immediately just points at Feyre. It's like, yeah, it was her. She did it. No Spartacus in that house. And then he's like, how dare you? How dare you? I must kill you now, or you can come live with me. Like, what? That's the rules of the treaty. The treaty says,
Subsection
or you can
J.
live with me. Yes. Subparagraph 2.
Article 2.
And so she is like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll go live with you.
Well, the alternative is death, so.
Yeah, so he takes her.
It's like, cake or death? Cake, please.
So then he takes her to the north of the wall, and this is like a book where, like, the first beer I opened, I'm going to save for later. I'll talk about that, but I'm going to open this other beer now. I was reading this as a 37-year-old man, so I knew instantly what was going to happen, despite knowing nothing about the book. But she sees that he's like this hot, muscular wolf guy.
Well, not until he gets back to Fairy Elfland.
But, you know, but they're going to Fairy Elfland where things all have like different names. And she's like, this guy seems really hot. He must have, it's like he has not big Johnson vibes, but maybe big Nelson vibes, they would call it, because, you know, they don't have the same words. So this is big Nelson vibes from other half. And they're going to see how the other half lives there.
Mm, true.
And that's so good. This tastes so much better than this book experience was.
This book tasted terrible.
It tasted like a lady jizz, because it's a preteen Gillen book. So they go north and to the wall, and they go to his sprawling mansion where it's initially just him, Ferrara, his slave washerwoman, who's also somehow an elf or fairy.
Everything is a fairy, but fairies are also monsters, but also they're good fairies, and I don't know.
There are the high fae, and then there are the regular fae.
And the straight edge fae.
Yes, right. So it's the bears and the twinks, but they have different types of fairies. And he has like a slave washerwoman who I pictured as an Irish peasant the whole time.
She was.
Who does all the work, and her name was something stupid. And
it was Alice, but spelled wrong.
Yes. Was it Alice? Aris?
Yeah, A-L-I-S.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. It was a regular name just spelled dumb.
Big so if Alice.
If you did the audiobook, you wouldn't even know that her name was spelled cool in a cool elf way.
I wonder how many Y's are in that when they write it down. None.
Tricked you. And his other friend, Lucian, who is another animal. It doesn't really fucking matter. But he has a fake eye. He's like part Tin Man.
Yeah.
And he's snarky.
He's got elf prosthetics. I'm sorry, fairy. God
no,
damn
he's
it.
Like Moody from Harry Potter, who has like that eye thing.
Oh,
that
yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But also, now that the cat has turned back into a hot guy, well, you can tell he's pretty hot, but he's not sure because everyone is wearing a mask like in an Eyes Wide Shut orgy.
Yeah, I was going to make the same joke.
And, you know, an Eyes Wide Shut orgy is a great, is a fitting comparison because everyone there is super hot. And she has just arrived at this new place that they live where she's going to be staying. And she's hoping that it's a city mate you had heard of, maybe called a Pound Town. This is
He's the High Lord.
Town Pound.
This is Town Pound from Concord Craft Brewing in New Hampshire.
Oh, really?
As a porter. And it tastes like a porter. So I'm getting very straightforward beers this episode. But yeah, I thought this was called Town Pound. And honestly, this has been in my fridge for a year. And I thought it was my roommate's. He's like, is anyone ever going to drink that? I was like, I thought that was yours. He was like, no. I was like, all right, I guess I'll use that tonight. I can definitely use that fucking Pound Town beer. Yeah, because she sees him. And, you know, she hates them because she hates fairies. Everyone hates fairies because they're all very bigoted in this world. But
like, I'm just not, I'm not an ally of the elf GBT.
Yeah, she is not an ally. She is definitely a hater. But she can tell they're hot, even with the mask on. And even at an orgy, you can tell someone's hot if they got a mask on and Eyes Wide Shut, which I never saw. But
it's,
I heard
they're wearing, it's like a Venetian carnival mask. So they just cover the eyes.
It's the top half of the face.
So you can see their mouth, like, and you can fuck it. And they all have, and they have like weird Tin Man masks on. It's really odd.
And she's like, what's with all the masks? And they're like, we have, all of magic is sick. And so we can't take these masks off that we put on 49 years ago. They're like, wow, this place sucks and is weird. And I wish I was making that up, but that's the actual thing that happened.
It is a statement much, much later in the book, but we talked about how stupid magic is in books and how inconsistent it is, and you could just use it. This is the most egregious offender of that rule.
It's the most stupidest.
And yet there is a line later in the book when someone's like, magic has rules. Magic follows patterns. Like, no, it doesn't in this book. It's just someone's like, there was a spell and it had a very oddly specific curse.
Well, by the end of the book, it makes a little bit more sense, but not enough for it to not be stupid.
I disagree. I think it only gets dumber. The less you know, the better it is. So Fiera quickly develops Stockholm Syndrome, and she gets
hot. So.
Well, he's hot and rich. And
But you repeat yourself. So according to the Wikipedia page, this was the original concept for the book was to do a retelling of Beauty and the Beast plus two other folk tales at the same time. One of them is called Tam Lin, and another one is called East of the Sun and West of the Moon, which, and I was like, oh, I've heard that. I've heard of that one.
That sounds like the start of a spell.
In it. Yeah. So anyway, it was supposed to be that, although the final version of the book didn't turn out to be really nearly such a strict retelling, but it does involve all those things. So that's kind of where all these really random elements come from. She was trying to copy something else.
And because it's a romantasy book, there's got to be a few awkward love scenes. which is one
surprise. There is thankfully few,
but they're still there and they're still bad. And that's where the book had the working title, 50 Shades of Fey. No, come on. It's pretty good. Not even a gay one this time. They'd refer to the Fey all the time.
Well, she is now in this place and, she's learning about the different kinds of fairies, of which there are innumerable, otters, bears, twinks, but she also learns about
power
one
bottoms.
Called a surreal, because we're not even going to attempt to not make a metaphor about, like, it's not real. But it's an exposition fairy that if you trap it, it will answer all of your questions you as the reader and protagonist might have. And it's very easy to catch, and it's nearby.
But yet she catches it, but then yet gets attacked by something else, which I didn't... understand.
Oh,
and then gets
you need
rescued.
To know what it gets attacked by.
Okay. Oh yeah, it's
they
it's
get
not
attacked.
The hard R.
They get attacked by big scary black fairies called Nagas.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Oh my god, what are they doing here?" And then Tamlin rushes in, like, "What are these Nagas doing in my neighborhood?"
And they say, "That's our word."
That's exactly what happens in the book.
It's. Yeah.
He's like, oh, my property value. But they're the evil fairies because it...
Who the fuck wrote this?
It's
the story of one white guy's plight of dealing with all the fairies and fairies of color around him, fending them off.
Elfman's burden is... but... I mean, he calls them Nagas. You know, it's cool. It's like in a rap song.
Yeah.
Nate, that's in the... What did they say in the book? How do they pronounce it?
Yeah, that Naga. Yeah, that's what they said.
They're like, this is Naga
country. I
kind of want
to bleep that. Well, I might have to bleep all of this.
just bleep it whenever we... And then the Nagas come and just bleep it out. She's like, whoa, I don't think we call them that, Tamlin.
Yeah, no. They're called...
Imagine, he's like, these are the Nagas. And she's like, well, he is 500 years old. He's from a different time. And that's what they called. That's what how he was raised. They're Elfrican Americans.
They're not elves. Okay, so Favre is like learning to... you know, because it's Beauty and the Beast, she's learning to enjoy the fact that she now has a full-time maid and who dresses her. And she had, you know, at first she's like, I won't wear the dress because I don't, you know, because I'm a tomboy. But then after 2 days, she's like, she does put on the dress. And Tamlin is like, ooh.
But what else is she learning, Nate? Do you remember? What else is she learning? She's learning something you wouldn't expect a character to have to do in a book.
Oh, how to read.
How to fucking read.
That's right.
That's going to be important, a major later. Plot point that she is illiterate.
Though, wasn't her family like rich when she was young?
They went poor, rather, when she was a child. So yeah, she barely remembers the rich times.
But she
They'd
never
already
got
taken her
any,
out of the Montessori school.
Never got any schooling.
But the rest of her family must know how to read either way. Like, she should know how to read. She's 19.
Nope, she's illiterate. And then he catches her making a... She tries to teach herself how to read, Tarzan style, by just staring at the books long enough till they give up to you. And she makes a list of vocabulary words that would make an English teacher proud. And Tamlin confiscates it, and then he writes dirty limericks using them. And that's how they fall in love.
I see one of your vocab words is Nantucket.
What a coincidence.
Oh, wow.
There is a powerful magic there.
I'm actually from there. Do you know about it?
Fairies tell many tales of this man, Nantucket. Also, it's around this time that whenever he does magic to her, she could smell the magic.
And oh, yeah.
Just, no, that's just a fairy smegma. She goes, he reeks of magic.
There's no one washes behind their foreskin.
That's just Santorum. That's different. No? Hey?
Real thing.
We haven't said Tamlin. Have we said that that's the name of Beast?
Yeah, they'll figure it out. If not, whatever. Who cares? That's the main guy. That's the hot guy whose mask is covering his face, but he's still got a righteous bod for a high fey. And Feyre, whose name is not fairy with the last two letters switched around.
It's pig Latin for fairy.
And she used to be all gangly because she was eating like rabbits that were starved to death themselves. And now she's developing some thickness, which I guess elves like. Fairies
for
like.
Which Tamlin has a sickness.
True. Yes. And, you know, they're getting along better. You know, she's... he's like, you can live wherever you want in this country. You have to stay here forever now. And she's like, that's weird. I guess I'll just stay in this house because you're the only one who I know. And also, if anyone else sees a human, they'll just kill me because we're like cattle or something to them. So she's going to hang out there.
They're kind of like the Helots from Sparta.
Like, pretty much, yeah. They're used for the same purposes. Labor and sexual.
Even though they have magic. Like, and their magic is limitless, but they still needed... agricultural.
I mean, it's still serfs. I think it's largely racism based class stuff. Like, oh, humans are, they deserve to be slaves, even though we can do all this stuff with magic, like the elves in Harry Potter. Like, they didn't need those elves. They chose to have those elf slaves everywhere.
Listen, every society has practiced it. It's not, it's
they
just what
imported
people do.
Those
they
like
those,
we need these.
Those elves learned lots of skills that helped them in freedom.
In Florida.
But the fairies border, they have enslaved or murdered humans for sport, and then they just have made serfs of the poor fairies. And everyone's like, yeah, this is just how it is. It's the whole book is a commentary on feudalism.
Yes. I mean, every YA book is at its core a criticism of feudalism. More often than not. So what happens next? Nothing
important.
You
get a lot of backstory, but not enough backstory, because it turns out there's a magic that prevents them from telling all of the plot. It's called pacing. But you learn, Tamlin is really old, and he was a child during the war, and he has a soft spot for humans because his father was a real asshole to them. And
fairies are immortal, but they can die in battle, much like... elves in Lord of the Rings, but, you know, who are we to compare?
And Lucien, and we also learned that the world is divided into seven courts, meaning duchies, and they are he's the autumn court? No, which
he's
one was
he? He's spring court.
He's the spring court, and there's autumn, summer, winter, and you're like, okay, where do you get seven? And then she's like, I don't know, morning, day, and night court, starring John Larroquette.
Dude, and yeah. I can't believe night court is one of the places they work.
Every time I was like, thinking, it was bull here? Like, what?
Also, because there's a night court, of course, they're the bad guys, because night. And oh, yeah. Like, the villains are the cast of night court.
I was really racking my brain for one joke to make about Night Court.
No one knows enough about Night Court.
I can't remember shit from that show.
Do you think they brought back Night Court because this book is popular?
Have they brought it back? Is there Night Court?
Oh, yeah, they're bringing back Night Court.
Oh, shit. Aren't they like most? Do they have to recast it?
No, everyone's still alive. It wasn't that long ago.
Wasn't
it the 80s?
Yeah, I mean, they're all old now. I mean, I'm sure some are dead.
The big guy died. The bailiff guy.
No one alive now could tell you a single thing about Night Court.
I spent a few minutes Googling, like, what are some, like, catchphrases or whatever from Night Court? Yeah, fucking Harry Anderson's been dead for 6 years.
I only remember anything about Night Court because I just rewatched 30 Rock, and one episode, the entire premise is the guy wants a series finale for Night Court. So they bring it back to cap off the series. I was like, no, they actually did bring back Night Court 10 years later, because why not? Who's that for? Who's like, I wish Night Court was still around? Turns out it's the people who read this book and don't know what it is.
It just has that. Of all the courts, that one sounds like the best for a 1980s sitcom.
And for an enemy fairy kingdom. or duchy. I don't know. I mean, what is a baron rule? They should just be judges. They should all be judges.
I feel like she just spent 2 minutes with the thesaurus and was like, what are some other words for kingdom? And she's like, oh, court. That's good enough.
Mm.
We're not really thinking about it because it's my understanding, at least, that a court is like, you know, the royal court is like the retinue of the king or the queen. It's not...
Generally, yes.
It's not their kingdom or their domain. It's just the fucking entourage.
Well, that's because these are fairies and they have different... It's like a province, you know? Like, they have their own words for whatever that land amalgamation is.
Is words like desmain or whatever that fucking dumb word is?
Yeah, I have no idea what that word is.
All right, so you find backstory out. And, and we learn the depth of... Feyre Fawcett's character is she likes to paint.
Yeah, not much depth.
She's a natural.
She likes to paint because she can't read.
I like the thing in the draft and editors. She was like, she just really likes to make macaroni pictures. And then the editor's like, I think we need to maybe tweak that.
She has a puka shell necklace shop on Etsy.
Well, it is a better character trait than just being clumsy.
Yeah, it is better than that.
Gotta add a character trait. How about she's a painter? Okay, good.
She's real good at colors, not so much at words.
So over time, the random stupid things happen when she catches the exposition goblin or when you meet the mean monster, the booger or whatever it was called.
The Ator.
Well, and then there's the...
There's also a boggy.
The boogeyman. Yeah. It's
oh, yeah.
And
bog. That and like plays with your mind that I thought was going to be more important later in the book.
Right.
No, it was just the beginning. It's just kind of like, if you go near the edges, this thing will like make you see things in your mind. Like Feyre thinks her father has come to rescue her. And she's like, no, don't. And she like, he's like getting attacked. It's like, wait, my father can't walk. How the fuck did he get here? And so it's the bog, which another plot point that doesn't tie in to anything else.
Maybe they'll come back in the other books.
She's world building, man. Give her time. Let her cook.
Building a mystery.
There's this thing was okay. So while Feyre is definitely finding Tamlin very hot, they have to have like a fairy party where
it's called a ball, Nate.
He has to drain his balls. They have the spring rite.
According some rite, Tamlin has to pick some fairy maiden and impregnate her because, like, they can't have kids.
Oh, no.
Like,
he
they're
has
having
to,
trouble.
He has to fuck a maiden and impregnate the earth with his seed so the earth will
that
be fertile.
Butt stuff.
Yeah, the lady is just a metaphor, a real metaphor that he does fuck.
He makes.
But he's also possessed by magic that makes him super horny.
Yeah, he has horny goat weed, and then he goes around just fucking everything.
Yeah.
But of course, they don't tell Feyre what's going on. They're just like, tonight, stay in your room. Don't come out. And then she's like, of course I'm like going to go outside because plot. And she runs into, and then they're like, oh, what are you, a human lady? Ooh, what are you doing here? She runs into that guy with a really annoying name that...
Oh, we don't know his name yet, but he's
so,
the hottest guy she's ever seen.
Just so beautiful.
He's the hottest white guy of the night.
Mm,
true. We will learn later, he is the judge of night court. It's Harry Anderson. It's Judge Harry T. Stone.
And he like tells her
his
something.
Name is Reesend, as in Reesend's peanuts. Can't think of something, but it's I saw it. I was like, is his name Reesend? That sounds like a fucking terrible airline.
Reesend is a Pokemon.
Absolutely, it is. And then they start abbreviating it to just Reese. And you're like, oh, okay, he just has a dumb name. But he's menacing.
And he tells her something that was important. I don't remember what it was, though. And then...
How's your pussy smell?
And then after the ceremony, and after Tamlin goes and fucks some, like, fairy chick, he sees Feyre and is like, oh, yes, no, I had to do that. She told me not to be gentle. but I really wanted you.
He's also still high on horny goat weed. So,
and this is the
his
part
erection has lasted almost 4 hours.
This is the part. I mean, we're not even. I mean, we're like kind of like halfway through the book, I guess. Probably not even that far. But it's like there's no reason why they're not just fucking already. Like what they're just. They're both clearly into each other. There's no
the book is for 12-year-olds.
There's no even plot reason why they're not together. It's just because there's a lot more book that has to happen.
At least in other books, when they fall in love for no reason, they get together right away. In this, they fall in love for no reason and then don't bang until too far into it.
Well, he goes too far into it. But the thing that's interesting, you say it's the book is for 12-year-olds. I'm not sure who this book is for, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
it's like for 12-year-olds until you get to like the one sex scene and this magic orgy.
Oh, when they have the Eyes Wide Shut party. And she's like, yeah. Now the masks make sense. But
well, the masks are only on the spring court. Everybody else doesn't have masks.
And then because of ill magic is the explanation. She's just like, fucking magic is crazy. I guess that's how it goes. Sometimes magic makes you wear a sex party mask for 49 years.
Yeah, you know.
When you're an immortal elf being, that's fine. You get over that.
That's like a weekend.
But then Lanolin gets really horny, and he sees Farrah, and he's like, I would have fucked you with my big elf cock. And she's like, oh, really? And then he gives her a big hickey.
He gives her a hickey.
He gives her a fucking hickey.
That's how you know this book is for 12-year-olds.
He bites her on the neck, and he's like, and she's like, oh, my God, this is getting me real. It's getting me there. And he's like, go back to your room and paint something shitty, you illiterate bitch. And then that's basically what happens.
Read my lips. Wait, I forget. You can't.
And then dumb shit happens, but eventually they wake up in the morning and there's an impaled elf head sitting or fairy head sitting in the outside of their house. And like, what the fuck is that about? And then Reese comes back, who humiliates Tamlin and Lucien in front of Farrah, and he's like, I'm fucking cucking you. And he makes them bow down and beg to not take their court or some bullshit. And you learn that there's a lady, an evil lady in the land, but nobody will tell Farrah anything. But it scares Tamlin. And so he's like, you have to leave. Get the fuck out of Magic Town. I made all that shit up. I knew you were illiterate. You couldn't read the fucking treaty. You were just seeing Spot run. And then he kicks her out and sends her back. By the way, she was like, she had like vague conflicted feelings. Like, oh my God, I promised my mother on her deathbed that I would care for my family. A thing that didn't matter in the book,
they do,
actually.
They bang before she leaves.
Oh yeah, she has to bang him, yeah.
And he says, I love you. And then she goes to sleep. And you're like, ooh. Hold that back from him, you naughty bitch.
And she says, I know.
Did you just hand solo me? Oh. And yes, then he sends her away.
That fills him with rancor. Yeah. No? Star Wars puns?
True.
No?
And then, I can't work Jawa in a sentence. I don't
Here
know.
We are making fun of this.
That's what they call Jews in the fairy world.
Jawas. If this was a Harry Potter, they'd run all the banks.
Let's buy our own mansion. We'll visit the Jawas and I'll take out a mortgage. You have to be careful with them. They're shifty. Nate, this is Sarah J. Maas's words, basically.
And J.K. Rowling.
Oh, yeah.
But then she gets sent home, and in her absence, Tamlin has told her that he put a magic spell on the world, and her family is now rich again.
Oh, no, he doesn't put a spell. Do you remember what the spells are called that convince people to believe?
A glamour.
A glamour.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah, fairies. This checks out. Okay.
I will say this is not the first time
I've heard that.
That's
also from Twilight. It's also like a vampire thing, but also from Twilight.
The word a glamour? Really?
Using illusion spells are called glamour in a lot of wizard
shit. Is that so?
Well,
it's all right. Yeah. I don't know.
So she stole that.
But she spelled it glamour with a U, like she's from fucking England.
No, I think that's the way you're supposed to spell it.
Oh, the spell one? I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, wizard spells are spelled in British.
Yeah, I mean, and wizards also, by the way, only listen to music with a K at the end of it.
They actually only listen to King Crimson. It's really terrible.
Oh, God. Well, if there's a king, but if it's a queen of England, it's Queen Crimson.
True. It's like, yes. God save the king. depends on under whose reign you are.
So she gets back to the human realm and her family, and they're like rich again. And she also arrives in like a golden carriage with like all of this money. And my first thought was, this would cause wild runaway hyperinflation. Just like dumping all of this pure gold.
No, he did a glamour on economics.
Clearly. Law of supply demand just doesn't.
Supply side glamour.
This is where, obviously, this doesn't matter because it's a stupid book, but the fairies could absolutely just destroy the humans just by tricking them with their glamour powers, or by ruining the economy just by, like, here's all of this money.
We don't understand why they're not just killing everybody.
They skipped over the part of the rampant Weimar hyperinflation that she starts. Where they're carrying wheelbarrows full of jewels to buy a loaf of bread.
That's what would happen.
A young upstart villager, Rudolf Helter, comes to power promising to restore the glory of the town by blaming the Jawas.
So she gets there and her family's rich, but one of her sisters is like, you were living with Aunt so-and-so. Did she die? And Pharaoh's like, oh, yeah, yep. It was sad. But Nesta's, of course, like, of course you're full of shit. You know, of course you didn't do any of those. We know you haven't been there. I tried to go visit you once.
The one sister was Nesta, right? Yeah, Nesta. The magic spell didn't work on her because she's too stubborn for magic to work. That was the reason in the book. So she never believed the magic ant story, and she's just like, yeah, I've just been riding it out here with this magic place.
Well, she wanted to be rich again. But then she says something absolutely ridiculous in a book of bullshit. She's like, our dad was a piece of shit, and she's like, Nesta says this, and Pharaoh's like, why the fuck did you guys make me do everything? And she's like, I didn't do anything because I wanted dad to have to do something. Like, wow, that is some world-class justification of being lazy. I was doing it to prove a point that our dad was not providing for us, so I didn't help, and I was a miserable cunt the whole time. And Pharaoh's like, eh, all right, yeah, checks out. I'm going to leave now, bye. She has to go back.
What happens is when she was still in Elfland, the hot night court judge said, asked her what her name was, and she gave a friend of theirs name. And now that she's back in not England, she finds out that that friend's entire family has been murdered, and her house was burned down, and they stole that girl. I was like, I guess the elves or fairies are pretty pissed off, so I'd better send you all away and then go back to Elf Town.
She finds the house is all fucked up, Lanolin Manor. Oh, here, I'm just drinking more beer. And she goes to find more elf stuff, and she's like, man, this is fucked up what they did. But, you know, she can't use her regular work because they're elves. She's like, these guys must be some sort of duvels to have done this to people.
Jesus.
It's clearing out the fridge. It's just Duvel.
It's a classic. Strong.
And she finds out that Tamlin has been taken to the lady under the mountain or some shit. And she's the real villain, the whole book that we only mentioned one time and never told you about.
Yeah, but now we're like we're like 300 pages into the book, maybe 250.
It's two-thirds through the book when this happens. You're like, wow, that was a lot of
setup. When she gets back and the Tamlin's whole like mansion manor thing is like practically burned to the ground. It is like, it's like been bombed back to the Stone Age. And she just sees Alice just like hiding somewhere. She's like, Alice, what happened?
She's still setting up cutlery on a table.
And then Alice is like, oh, there was a battle. There was a terrible battle. And let me tell you this whole thing that's been going on. So suddenly you get an enormous amount of backstory. It's like, we couldn't, they couldn't tell you all the things going on
because of magic.
And there's all so many stupid things where it's like, oh, the courts are at war, and this whole plague in the fairy realm has actually just been the witch king of Angmar named Amarantha.
The witch king of Amarantha.
Because she just wants the power, but she also wants Tamlin because he's so hot.
And she also hates humans because her sister fucked a human and then he betrayed her. So she wants to kill everybody.
500 years ago. Get over it, lady. And Tamlin's like, just calm down. And she's like, fuck you. And she destroys his kingdom. But you find out that Tamlin's like, I must fight to save my people and my kingdom. Even though he's a feudal lord and doesn't really, you know, they never really talk about his judicial reforms to help.
Well, they do
Starks.
Talk about, he talked about how if he was old enough to fight in the human liberation war, he would have died to fight for the humans because he doesn't believe in slavery because he's super awesome.
Yeah, he says, I'm against slavery, against tyranny. I would gladly go to my death no matter whose freedom I was doing. So then she makes the dumbest plan ever. I'll go into the cavern.
I'm going to go to night court.
Sentenced me to love. So she goes to the cavern filled with murderous fairies who are holding the very powerful beast, and they're going to kill, because it's been 49 years so of the curse or some shit.
Well, Alice told her the whole plot that we have been waiting to find out, which was there never was a treaty like that. He had to get a human that killed a friend of his to fall in love with him. I was like, that's real specific. So he brought her back to try and get her to fall in love with him.
So he's been sending out dudes to the human realm, just like with big, like, just like, wear this thing with concentric circles on it, please, for me. and like, just wear this, just hoping that someone gets shot so that will activate the curse. And he's like,
so that I can fuck your killers.
But sometimes they're like, sometimes the guys usually came back. Sometimes they wouldn't, and we'd investigate, and it turned out an old woman shot them. And he's like, oh, gross. Like, it does say that sometimes, like, a farmer would have killed the elf, or an old woman. And he's like, I don't think she's what the prophecy meant.
I've got more friends. We can try this again.
Yeah, I think they meant a younger, spiteful woman who hates fairies. So
that's what it was. You had to find a young lady who's,
but she's
super
not a
racist.
Virgin. But she's not a virgin. Like that that's not, you thought that would have been a detail, like that mattered, and that's why
she has to be
fucking
racist.
Old woman. But the old women were raised. Everyone hated the fairies. They blamed the fairies for everything. They're like, don't look. They're like gypsies. Like, if you touch, if a fairy touches your food, you'd better not eat it because it's poison now. They really hate the fairies. And the spell just specifies it has to be a woman that kills a fairy out of hatred to fall in love. He added the part about being young and hot. Because
also,
we know,
she didn't kill the wolf out of hatred. She's like, that's a big wolf.
She's like,
maybe it's a fairy. I don't know. Whatever.
If it is, fuck it. But she had been banging the stable boy earlier in the story, like,
yeah,
who he also doesn't fucking matter. But she'd been banging. She is so, she's not like pure or anything like what you would expect from a evil witch prophecy. He just decides, like, no, I gotta come on. I got 49 years. I could wait. Like how many like 32-year-old women
use
these? Like, So then she finds all this out. She's like, I have to save him because I love him. And if I had just said that the one time, this all would have been solved. But instead, she did the thing that most women do. She's like, no, it's fine. Nothing's wrong. It's fine. He's like, oh, fuck, the curse is going to work. And so she has to go under the mountain to save him. And there's still like 100 pages of book.
Yeah, so she gets there. And she's like, oh, and she's like, Tamlin is like, not being held captive, but clearly she's like, Amarantha is controlling him. And she's like, oh, I will let you live and free you if you can complete three tasks. And I also have a riddle. And I groaned out loud when it was like, oh, you have three tasks you must complete. I'm like, fuck, three?
Yeah.
Right. Or you solve the riddle.
And the tasks don't matter if you could just solve the riddle. But it's like, why three? How about one? Doesn't this book have an editor? Come on. We're already 300 pages into this fucking book. Why is it three more tasks?
But also the riddle, so annoyed. I solved it while reading it. And anyone who would have read that would have solved it immediately because it's fucking
It's a bad
stupid.
Riddle. It's yeah. a bad riddle. But I was like,
also,
oh,
it's horny kids book, so you know what the answer is, of course.
But you knew it had to be related because her whole thing was that the witch lady wants Tamlin to lust for her.
Yeah.
So you knew the answer was going to be love. It didn't matter what the riddle was. The riddle could have been like, I sit in a corner and travel around the world. Like, it's a stamp on a love letter. Like, it didn't matter. It was going to be love. But you see there the name that Farrah had given earlier and the girl whose house burned down, they abducted and tortured that girl to death. And this is where I'm like, I don't know if this book is for 12-year-olds because that's really dark.
Yeah, she was hanging in meat pieces.
Because there's the tortured cadaver for 3 months. It's just hanging there crucified to the wall. It's kind of like an outtake from Weekend at Zombies. So I don't know, this is like, I don't know how long this has been sitting in the fridge. Weekend at Zombies. Oh my God, this is almost 2 years old. It says Fruited Sour from KCBC. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Well, zombies last, yeah.
True.
You moved that from the other house?
I did. It's a sour ale with blueberry, mango, and pomegranate. It's 5.5% alcohol.
Maybe more by now.
You know what? It's actually pretty good.
Too bad they don't make it anymore because it was 2 years ago.
I bet the fruit flavor has diminished a bit. Or if I pour it into a glass, there's probably like a weird sludge at the bottom. Kind of like what was left of that girl from the village they tortured to death.
Yeah.
Or what will be present in the first challenge.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
The first challenge is the worm from Dune.
Yeah.
And it's blind, so she does the plot of Predator. And then wins.
They somehow have created a. It all takes place in this throne room. All the challenges, but it's
She's down in the. She can only do the tests, like at every full moon. So she's got to wait a month between challenges.
Well, because the worm is attracted to blood, so they have to wait until her moon blood. But yeah, they have to wait a month between challenges for her to like maybe get gangrene and sepsis or shit. Like that's. Like the backup plan of the witch is for Farrah to
and
die.
And a month of solitary confinement.
But also, with the whole thing where Amarantha is like, oh, if you can solve these three challenges or whatever, it's like, who would do that? Like, why? Like, I'm sure this is the plot of the book and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, okay, you need to do something. But it's like, it's like even dumber than a Bond villain. It's like, oh, I will let you do these three challenges. And then that, you was like, no. If you have the power, you'll just be like, fuck you, no. Go away.
I think I agree with you. It doesn't make any human sense. But maybe it makes fairy sense, Nate, because they're immortal beings and she hates humans. So she's just bored and enjoys torturing them.
Every book about immortal things talks about how fucking bored they are. So, you know, 3 months.
Nate, you're pretty
close.
You've been around for a long time. Is it boring?
So she has to kill the giant worm, and she does. And you know, who cares? It's over. She kills the worm, like because of course.
But
she gets real fucked up during it.
The thing that's ridiculous is like they're like, and now the first challenge, and then the floor opens up, and there's a giant maze of mud. And
they've just
maybe
been
it takes
something to do.
They have to wait till the next month because they have to hit like a whole crew. They have to like strike the stage afterwards, and they have to make a new thing. And you know, there's a strong elf union for these stage workers.
Also, she has magic, because she controls all the. She has stolen the magic from all the other court lords, including the judge of Night Court, who she is fucking. Who gets a little bit more power because he's dispensing justice with his Night Court wiener on her. So she wants also, what the fuck
well,
is
he,
the girl's name?
He serves him a writ of habeas dongus.
So Feyre is like, I'm going to defeat you so that, because if I defeat you, then all the fairies get their power back and you are you suck, so fuck you. That's, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense. But then she's gonna do it, and but also unbeknownst to the Witch King, Rysand, the clearly misunderstood goth, you know, anti-hero.
He's the Neil Gaiman of the book.
Yeah, he's like the guy from The Crow. He's
yeah.
He's like, I'll fix your wounds from the worm fight if you agree to come
fight
stay
my worm
at my place half the year, like every 2 weeks of the month. And she's like, that's stupid. And
yeah, I want joint custody of you.
Yeah. If you live, we get to, like, you know, share your pussy. And she's like, I'll do it for 1 week. And he's like, that's all I need. And so he cures her wounds, and then she is bound to him for future books.
Yeah, and she had been warned, don't make any deals with fucking fairies. They always trick you. And what does she do? Instantly makes deals with everybody, and they're terrible deals.
But also, he's clearly misunderstood. He's the Gale. He's the Gale of this one, and Tamlin is the Peeta.
I don't know. They never mentioned the Patriots. I don't know how he felt about things. But when she accepts this deal, what the fuck is his name? Rysand has her, like, branded with this weird night court henna all over her hand, and this creates some sort of bond between them, because his real power, they all have magic powers that are random, and his is psychic power, that he could
also
read your mind.
Also, he turns into a bat.
He turns into a bat, he could read your mind, and he could brain fuck you and turn you into, you know, a vegetable.
But also, he's clearly, like, he wants to bang Feyre. And he wants maybe to get married, and she'll become Mrs. Beans. And he's like, Mrs. Beans, yeah, my name, Rice and Beans.
Oh, God damn it.
That's so stupid.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
I actually didn't think about that until right now. I was like, Rice, oh my God, his name is Rice and Beans. He's the swarthiest judge, so, you know.
So he's, like, helping her, and that's the only way she survives, because he helps her, and he's like, and she's like, no, I won't stay with you for 2 weeks every month. So he's like, okay, fine, 1 week. And
they
he's
haggle.
Like, yes, they actually haggle over it. It's like, little does she know, she should have dropped it down to 10%. You know, no, 2 weeks. How about 2 days?
He's, I don't get out of bed for 2 days. And then they go back and forth. And we must.
That's called depression.
You make a good, you strike a mean bargain. Are you part Jawa? So.
And then the second test this after a month is a multiple choice test, but she
standardized
can't read.
You have to pick one of three levers, but the code, the riddle is written on the wall, and she still didn't know how to read.
I will not solve this, Sam. I am. But then
I only got up to T.
Rysand cheats, and just she's like goes to touch a. She's like, fuck it, I'm gonna pick two. Why not? They say guess C consistently. He goes for that when he's
that's
like,
not
no,
even what two
dummy.
Is.
And so he helps her cheat. He tells her the answer. Because if she didn't get it right, not only would she lose in her quest, but then the evil queen would have killed Lucien. Did we talk about how he had to flee his court? Because they have one of those like Ottoman Turk courts where whenever the next one comes to power, he kills all the other male heirs. That was a real thing in the book.
It's also for lions.
And then he had fallen in love with like a low birth fairy, and his father had her executed in front of Lucien, so he's all butthurt about that. You know, rightfully so, I guess. But all of his dick brothers are there, and they're like, yeah, fuck him, he sucks.
They all work for Amarantha because they're, I don't know, like elf fascists? I don't know.
I got a very strong, like, frat bro finance guy vibe from them.
They were definitely collaborators.
They're the Quislings of the of the elf world. The but you have to say it slightly wrong. The Vichy Fae. So that was the second challenge. And all the while, and now Ryson has gotten to full-blown cheating, where he has tricked all of the guards to give her, you know, like, hot meals and medicine. Why? Just because he can, is all we know.
Because
at this
she's
point.
Hot. And also because, despite banging Amarantha, he secretly wanted to kill her for the entire time because she sucks.
But he also has to maintain... I mean, we find out later, and it was pretty fucking obvious that he was going to not be who he seemed to be.
He's misunderstood.
But he makes Farrah come out at dance parties and drink elf wine and give him lap dances in front of Tamlin.
Yes.
Which is a power move. It's pretty impressive. It's like, yeah. I mean,
she has to do that every night for the entire month in between.
She is constantly hungover.
Yeah, she doesn't remember. She blacks out. She's like, I just want to drink that elf wine so I could black out and not know what's happening to me. Again, not something 12-year-olds will understand, so I'm not sure who they're talking to here. But then we get to the last challenge, Elfie's choice, where she has to... Nate, what is the last challenge?
Okay, so the last challenge is, and this is still not the riddle, but this is the last challenge where three fairies are brought out to the court and she's given knives and she's like, you must murder them one at a time. You must stab them in the heart. And so and she's like, what? That's that. And she's like, no, I can't possibly do that. And then immediately stabs the first one. And then, oh no, I can't possibly do this again. And then immediately stabs the second one. And then she's like, oh,
what a struggle.
Oh, no. And then the third one is Tamlin. That he was actually not over there at the other thing. He's actually here. And he's like, you must stab Tamlin in the heart. And she's like, what? I can't possibly do that. And then she goes through her mind palace and remembers every conversation she's ever had.
Yeah, she just spent 3 months in solitary confinement doing zero thinking. You know, like normally a book would have her slowly work this out or be like, ah, there's something to that. I can't figure it out. But no, she does it all right now. She solves.
Well, everyone watching. So
she does
like,
well
she
under
has,
pressure.
She has to stab Tamlin. And then while she's sitting there thinking for must be days while everyone is staring at her, she remembers two weird snippets of conversations she overheard. Where one guy tells Tamlin, Lucian tells Tamlin, oh, for a guy with a heart of stone, you sure something, I don't know, but that was
feel a lot. You sure yeah. Love watching The Notebook a lot.
You take things for granted.
And I remember the other kind of, dude, your heart rocks.
He's like, oh, this is more like the night quartz.
And then he said, nice one with a silent G.
Oh, yeah. Get it? Chalk up another one for spring court.
I've heard of kidney stones, but this is ridiculous.
Nate, come on. What are you feeling, a little basalty?
I'm igneous of all these terms. So she remembers that. So she remembers these overheard conversations where it's like, oh,
sorry,
he has
making
a heart
rock
of,
puns is one of says, my many faults.
He has a heart of stone. She's like, oh, wait, that's it. As part of it, as part of the curse that she put on him, he has a heart of stone, which means I can stab him in the heart and I stab him in the heart and he won't die. So she does. So she stabs him, and instead the knife only goes in part way, and then it has like a little, like it's bent at the end after that. And it's like, wait a minute. Why the fuck is this in the book? Like, like this is totally, like this is... it's kind of like, where did the Heart of Stone thing come from? Like,
because the rocks was, seal in their magic.
I think it had sedimental value.
I was definitely not reading carefully, and by reading carefully, I mean listening at 2x speed.
No one could have guessed
no
that.
No one's surprised.
It's absurd.
It was a bold move.
But it's like, this was not properly foreshadowed. It really wasn't. It was not like... I mean, it's hard to write the ending of a book. The ending of a book is supposed to be both like...
Apparently, it was hard to write the beginning and middle, too.
Well, the end of a book is really hard because it needs to be like both unexpected, and then when you find out the ending, you should go, oh, that makes sense. This does not fit that. I mean, it's very hard to do, but it's like, this thing about the Heart of Stone was just like, it came out of nowhere. And then she remembers it out of nowhere and figures it out. And it was like this. And... then that's not even the end, because then she also solves the riddle at the same time, which she actually should have done first, because that was way more obvious.
She had 3 months to think about it.
That was way more obvious.
It wasn't clear
that she could. It was a highlights level riddle.
She should. It wasn't clear that she had only one chance. Like, it wasn't like the Sphinx.
No, where they said, if you guess wrong, I'm going to kill everybody.
Oh, did she say that? All right, yeah, fine. She should. All right, fine.
But yeah, the answer is very love, easy. Which is a word you could just say accidentally all the time, you know. Wow. I really love these pancakes. Oh, she got it.
That's why they didn't give her pancakes in jail, mate.
Damn it. Oh, she solved the riddle. Got it again. It's like, what did Napoleon say at Waterloo? I give up. It's that kind of riddle.
I don't listen to ABBA. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and so... she like stabs him in the heart, and he doesn't die because he's got a heart of stone. And then Amarantha is like, what? Okay. And it was really stupid. And Amarantha is like, I'm just going to kill you anyway. And then she says, like, I didn't say when I would release you from the spell. And it's like, well, yeah, that's why even Bond villains don't do things this stupid. And when she like, you know, does like magic on Feyre, and she's like dying, is like, oh, that really hurt. And she's like, say you don't love him, because that's what's going to break the spell. She has to say that she loves him and not just I know. So she does the things, like doesn't die. And then, but all the other people in the court are like, whoa, not cool. Because we care about
a deal's a deal.
We care about
consistency. Contract law is just the basis of our civilization.
Well, you know, they're sitting at the bottom of the mountain, and maintaining contract law is for the crater good. I think I got them all now.
Yeah, got them all.
Anyway, so everyone's like, whoa, not cool. Then Tamla's like, fuck you, and then just kills Amarantha, just like rips her throat out, and...
he impales her into the wall right under the other dead girl who's been there the whole time.
Two girls, one wall.
It's like, why didn't he just do that before? Like, he could have. He had the power to just be like, scratch and kill her like anytime he wanted. Why did he wait for all of this stuff?
Because she had to solve the riddle to break the curse. So then he got his magic power back. Because they're all like, once he gets the magic power back, he's going to flip the fuck out, and he's going to beat her to death. And so he does.
He's going to Ike Turner her.
But yeah. Wouldn't killing her also solve the curse? Or wouldn't?
Good, but he wasn't strong enough to kill her because he had all his magic taken away.
Yeah, that's very oddly specifically magician. Binding magic contract law.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. You should consult a
Jawa. Like
Jawa.
I said, 2x speed.
Oh, it's a YA magic rationalization.
It's really shitty. The magic doesn't make any sense. No. And there's a line, yeah, like when Alice is explaining everything, she says, she tricked the High Lords through cunning, not force. Magic's a specific kind of thing. It likes rules. No, it isn't in this book. It's just nonsensical.
And there was this whole thing about how they can't lie, but it only came up like 3 times.
Well, it's because the curse she put on his hot heart was that they couldn't tell anyone about the curse. They kind of had to like talk around it, like Orthodox Jews doing Shabbos, where they're like, we're not pushing the button.
The light was already on. I just turned the bulb to face me.
So they couldn't tell her what was happening. So they. So they say, oh, we're not lying, but they had to talk around everything. They couldn't actually say anything. It was dumb. It was dumb, and I hated it, and I'm glad it's over. But in the end, Farrah dies, but then is brought back 2 pages later, and now she's an elf or a fairy, and you're like, I don't understand why.
Every one of the High Lords comes, and they sprinkle a little bit of elf jizz on her. And that she needed all 7. She had to catch them all. It's like the Dragon Balls. She has to need all 7. And then she comes back. They play the drum solo of life for her.
Oh, and the drum solo of life.
She comes back and she's like, what the fuck happened? And everything's weird. It's like, oh, yeah, you're a fairy now. That was the only way to save you.
You're immortal.
Yeah, Deus ex, fairy ex machina. Just saved.
And now you're immortal and we can do like 3 or 4 more books easy.
So just like at the end of Twilight, she gets turned into the vampire or her fairy in this case. But at least it didn't take nearly as many books.
Hold my mead, Nate, because there are 3.5 books left.
Well, there's, you know, also the next book clearly is she's going to be torn between Tamlin, ultimate nice guy, and Rysand, who now owns her soul 1 week a month, and he's when at the end of the book she's like, "All right, I'll see you
next Thursday."
He's going to see her on Tuesdays for Taco Tuesdays with rice and beans.
he says to her though when he like drops the smegma on her to make her alive again, he goes like, "I guess we're even now," but then they're not. He still holds the deal. It's like, oh, she's a hot fairy now. You need to fuck that once a month.
But also, one of the high fairies does that, and he's like, that's weird. The last one I did this, she didn't come back to life. And you're like, what does that mean? Throwaway line. Never mind.
And then she wakes up, and she has to kind of wrestle for a second that she murdered in cold blood 2 elves.
She's like, maybe I'll thank their families or say I'm sorry, or maybe not.
Yeah, she's like, I was really skimming at this point, but she goes, this was what I had murdered those fairies for, to be a fairy. She's like, it was worth it.
They have a quota or a cap, like you have to kill a fairy to get another fairy.
Well, yeah, it's like the Supreme Court.
Take a penny, leave a penny kind of situation.
Pretty much, yeah.
But she goes, their deaths had not been in vain, and yet the blood on me had been gone when I'd awoken. She just woke up after a fairy nap. She's like, you know what? I'm tired of carrying this guilt. Fuck them.
I literally died. Get over it. I killed them, but I died too, so we're even CVs.
That is basically what she says.
So that's the end of this book, and there's more of them, and I know we're going to have to do the other ones, and I'm really not looking forward to it. Because I hated this. It wasn't the worst thing I ever read, but I want to say it was 95% tropes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything that happened, you could have guessed before it happened.
Except
when they pulled out of their ass.
Except when it was just random.
Yeah.
I mean, you could guess the final riddle or whatever it is, but I wouldn't say I could predict everything because nothing made sense. So,
well, you can bridge like she's gonna fall in love with Tamlin pretty soon, and by the end of it, there'll be a second dark, misunderstood guy that she's gonna have to eventually deal with, and she's gonna defeat the bad lady and save the day. And she will overcome the odds and become more powerful by the end of it. And then who knows what's going to happen in the other books, but there's a big bad on the horizon now that like the bitch lady is gone, but like there was a worse guy and he's still out there and she's going to have to use her magic powers to beat him. Cause I'm sure she's going to get some, like, you know, what's her magic power going to be? The power to read. I don't know.
The power of phonics. So as our second romantasy book, it was this better or worse than Fourth Wing?
Ooh.
This was worse.
I want to agree.
I think not that by Fourth much. Wing kind of, you know, the Fourth Wing, the ending was much better. Like it got, something real happened and there was less useless bullshit. There was a lot of useless bullshit in both, but this was mostly useless bullshit. And you know, some parts of the world building I thought were interesting. I mean, she called them fairies and not elves besides that, but like there was some interesting stuff in there. Like, I could see where it's going. I was like, there's some interesting ideas, but it was just about, like, you know, will they or won't they? Of course they will. And how? and oh, there's going to be another guy. Like, it was all, I feel it was more tropes than Fourth Wing was. Because at least Fourth Wing, there's some tropey shit in it, but it branches out a little bit more. I didn't really like it, but it was more interesting than this, which was just kind of aggressively meh.
I was more annoyed reading Fourth Wing. So Fourth Wing annoyed me. I really did not like that. So it's hard for me to say that something could possibly be worse.
Well, what annoyed you
but
about it?
But yet, there was so much stupid plot, plot exposition in Fourth Wing. And
but
I
this
felt
one,
like...
I thought it was, this one had so much plot, but it was more irrelevant, I guess.
I do admit that the end of Fourth Wing, it did kind of come together. So I was like, oh, okay, all right. Whereas this, it just was like, oh, this is really bad. Yeah, I guess this might be worse. I don't know. Maybe it's just because
neither are good.
The second one, because at least Fourth Wing was new. I was just resigned to this one. It's more like what it was. First one, I was like, oh God, no. This one, I just took it.
Do you hate it more because you know you now have to read three more of them?
And a half.
Yes, that actually angers me greatly.
I hate this.
I think the biggest problem with this is that I don't know who it was for. Written. Well, yeah, of course that it exists. And that a universe with no God allows us.
Fourth Wing was like, I don't know who this is for, because it had those like hyper-aggressive sex scenes and the rest was YA stuff. This was like
really
a little more Mormon.
This has some pretty vanilla sex scenes, which is like, and then we were together, and it was sexy times, and like they're really
like
not
with,
much
with lady and dude wiener stuff.
There was things inside of a thing. It's really vague, but then there's this grisly scene of the tortured corpse, like we're in fucking like at ISIS headquarters, and she keeps mentioning it. She's just like, and then I look up at Claire's tortured naked body where they cut off one of her boobs and branded her, and her fingers were bent at weird angles. I did that. That was messed up. Like, wow, that's really, it's really dark and then really immature in other ways.
Maybe it's like Harry Potter, where the first book is clearly for kids and they kind of age up year after year and they are more mature by the end of it.
But they're supposed
to
do it
way faster.
Yeah, like, the first chapter is for young kids. The end is for like dark, you know, late high school. No, this is worse than Fourth Wing. Because I happened to, by accident, I got the fourth one of these books and I was just reading the summary and I was like, this doesn't sound like the beginning. And I just know one thing that's coming up later in the series that makes me hate this so much.
I'm really worried as to what that could be because I already hate it.
It just gets stupider. It just gets really stupid.
That's bold. Okay.
Well, you know, like instead of having new things happen to these characters, like, you know, what's her name? Fucking Feyre and Lamlin.
Fairy. Her name is Fairy.
Her name is, well, she is a fairy.
But dyslexic.
It was a nominative determinism.
Oh,
that
God,
word
she's
can't say.
Feyre the fairy now.
Yeah. In the fourth book, Nesta, the shitty sister, she is somehow a fairy. So like that miraculous ending where they're like, all right, just this once we'll make this human a fairy. By the end of the book, they're just turning end of the series, they're just turning other people into fairies apparently to stretch out the content.
She's an anchor fairy.
Very good. So I just know that if the character who was the throwaway
Chain
character in this
Faye
book.
Grayson. No. Anyway, continue.
No, just knowing that that's going to happen in the series, like, wow, that's even stupider and really unnecessary that the minor throwaway character becomes the main character of the fourth book. That just goes to show you really don't have,
well, that's like
there
the
wasn't a plan.
Third and a half book, right? It's like a other tales. Kind of thing.
That one was like Court of Silver and Tinsel or something. I forget what that was.
I mean, is it like part of the official series, or is it like one of those like expanded universe shits?
No, I'm pretty sure that was book four. I was like, what the? Yeah, A Court of Silver Flames. After being forced to become a High Fae, Nesta struggles to find her place in the Night Court because John Larroquette doesn't share. Following the tragic war that has left her and her powers lost and confused. This is the description. This is terrible. Meanwhile, Cashin, I don't know who that is, the general of the Night Court, he's Bull, adjusts to the new life that constantly puts him in Nesta's presence. So, like, the fourth book, which is 768 pages, is about characters that aren't even in the first book or don't matter. So clearly she, I mean, maybe she kills off those characters, but they just don't matter anymore.
I don't like that. I don't want to do it.
I do like, if you look on Wikipedia, they're like the four books and the book 3.5. And then it says...
There's four books and book 3.5?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And, so there are five?
There are five. Okay. And then it says companion books. And there's one companion book. It's a Court of Thorn and Roses coloring book.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. Yeah.
Like, oh, good. That's
what color should I make the elf penis?
Comes with a set of glitter crayons for all of the, you know, magic glamour.
Oh, God.
So this sucked more than that. I will say this, though, in defense of the book, mildly. It's fast and easy, and stuff was happening. I was like, all right, I want to know how this ends at least. I kind of cared a little bit. It was not hard to read.
It was not easy hard to just read, plow through. But it was very boring.
Yeah, once it was just too much book by half.
There was like, you know, you get there, you're in a fairy world, you learn about fairy world, and then there was like way too much hanging around the house and like doing stuff. And I fear like the longer books will have more of that.
I hope not. But the people want us to suffer.
I hope you tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter, drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Guys Book Club.
I forgot to mention the Patreon, but go there and support the podcast. Patreon.com/Drunk Guys Book Club. That's a cool thing to do.
And you can also find us on Goodreads and read about other things that we've read that are other books. Sometimes.
No one's listening now.
And check out the Hop Dump Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.